This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You know, Jason, last night, Stephen Vogt said something about how they're going to approach the final four games of this season. And I'll be honest with you, it got me pumped up a little bit because there are two choices. You've got the bye. You can go ahead and set everything up, rest guys, however you want to do it. Or you can try and push for the one seed until there's no chance or until you clinch it. Here's where Vogt stands.
No, we want to win. We want to win every game. And, you know, we might give guys a day or we might do something like that. But for us, it's like we have all year. We're going to play everybody and we're going to continue to work because we have four more opportunities to get better going into the postseason.
Do you love that as much as I love that?
100%. I think that's the best reaction that you can have from a manager. Even though, you know, with him being over here for the first time as the Guards manager, you want to play for somebody like that. They're going for the gusto. You have to stay on the throttle. You want to go deep in the playoffs in October. You have to make sure that you stay there.
Well, and I think to me, you know, like we've started compare and contrast Tito and Vogt. I think Vogt's style of baseball, although it comes with risks, which is burnout like we saw in August, or if you're trying to make up for one segment of the team like the rotation, you can throw your team out of whack trying to win every single game. I think it's lit Cleveland on fire. Like, I really do think, like, Tito's style made a lot of sense. It's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. But I think that hurt Guardians' interest in a way, because I think fans bought into the, well, it's just one out of 162. I think this year you saw people more engaged, not just because at one point they were winning at like an 800 clip, but because also I think people saw the sense of urgency from the team and responded to that. Now, that to me, like that gets me going.
It really does. And I think when you look at this team right now, they don't have a lot of superstars, but they have a manager that they believe in. You have a pitching coach that's pushed the right buttons with that rotation. And then you have the best bullpen in baseball right now.
Well, I wanted to ask you, because I see so many differences. Like, the Guardians have pushed. They're very similar guys. You know, that's why we loved Steven. And I think sensibility-wise, the ability to talk to anybody is a huge commonality. I see so many differences between Stephen Vogt and Tito. Do you kind of see that as well?
I do. I think when you look at the lineup, yes, you have your everyday lineup. You know who's going to be out there every day. But what Stephen has been able to do and push the right buttons with that lineup, it's a new player every night. And I think the kicker, too, you have a Jose Ramirez that is MVP caliber again. I mean, you love this guy. You love the caliber that he goes. You love the energy that he brings every night. But Josh Naylor, he has not been talked enough about this season. Mm-hmm. And you look at his numbers when it's all said and done, he's put up great numbers this year.
Yeah, well, and Kwan at one point hitting for 400. So to me, it's so funny. I never had a quibble. And I think the way Tito does things, there's a reason he's a Hall of Famer and won two World Series, been to three World Series. This is not, I didn't know how much I liked aggressive in-game managers until we got to Vogt. Like, because with Tito was more, I'm not going to act until I absolutely have to.
Well, I think you're seeing, you know, the difference is, though, you have a young manager that's learning his ways and learning and understanding kind of on the fly. And then you look back at Tito, the way that he, you know, transcribed and grew from Boston over here. And I think the best thing for what the Guardians have right now is a young manager that's eager to show what he's capable of doing, and he's done that.
So I think the big thing with Vogt is, and this to me is now the next big challenge. Like, I thought when those first dated games, when they were just kicking the crap out of everybody, yes, there were things that were new to him, but it's not as big of a challenge as when you struggle. Well, that first big challenge was post-All-Star break. When you're making the same moves and none of them work, do you keep being aggressive? Do you know, like, how much do you change? And he did help, I think, manage their way out of their problems. So he's already had the first big test. I think the next one is, how do you make the layoff not hurt you? Because that's the only downside to clinching a top two spot.
And that's going to be the hardest thing that we look at too moving forward. The season ends on Sunday. You go through the wild card playoff side of it, you know, early on, and it's lining up your starting rotation. It's lining up and making sure that your bullpen is healthy. But at the same time, you don't want to lose that edge. And I think you look back at last year, the Diamondbacks had that edge. The Rangers had that edge because they continued to play.
So I think a lot of people have pointed out the benefit of the wild card teams and having to play there. We actually had a caller in the 6 o'clock hour, a Buddy Slater, say that do you try and get the third spot? So you have to play. Dude, no. The less baseball you have to play on your path to a championship, that's the right goal. It's like reverse engineering the problem. The problem is just, how do you stay sharp? Do you agree, by the way, about... We'll take the 2 seed and we'll figure that out from there.
I'm going to take the 2 seed all day long, and I'm going to do exactly what Steven is doing right now and try to win to get the 1 seed as well.
Yeah.
You know, because you want to keep that momentum going. And if you have a couple days rest, yes, it's nice to have that. These guys are big league professional players. They know how to get themselves ready every day. I think looking at it, having home field advantage and having that crowd behind them, we all know what it's like playoff baseball in Cleveland.
Well, here's the other thing. I know why they do it. I hate the 3-game wild card round. I do. I don't know how that's fair to a team that actually wins their division. For their fate, 162 games for them comes down to 3 games.
No, it really does. And that's the difficult part too, right? You look at it and you say, okay, you're a division champ, but at the same time, oh, by the way, you only get to play 3 games max, and hopefully you can pull it out. Now, it's nice that you have 2 games at home, but it's not the same. If the wild card went to those extra 2 games, not a big deal. Go to a 5-game series. Give the division champ a chance to win the way they're supposed to.
Well, and it's just 3-game series. They're so fluky. And here's the thing. You don't realize it in the way the baseball schedule is set up in the regular season because you're always onto the next schedule or you're always onto the next series. It really is highlighted how finicky those things are in October because it's a bad game. It's a bad inning. And so it's funny, like, because everything with this is another catch-22. The catch-22 is, well, you're going to further penalize the 1 and 2 seed because if you add those extra 2 games. I'm sorry, you can get 5 games done in 5 days. And I just think you have to be more fungible with the schedule itself. But I don't think that should be a reason you shouldn't push this to 5 games and give those wild card teams and that extra division winner a chance to really win.
Yeah, if it goes 5 games, go 5 days in a row. Don't give anybody days off. And the thing I look at too, if you're a wild card team right now and you're facing that division champ, that number 3 seed, you're the visiting team right off the get. You have all the momentum that I look at. It's nice that you're at home as the division champ, but that wild card, you have the mojo to go out and score right off the get and take the crowd out of it immediately.
What's wild is how you and I are in lockstep. Take the top 2 seed and we'll talk about it there. And I really love that they're going to push for the 1 seed. Your window's small here. Your window is you've got to win the next 4 games and you got to hope now that the Yankees lost last night, you got to hope they lose 3 of the next 5 games. Sorry, I don't know why I was trying to do math in real time. That's not my strong suit. I didn't go to Bowling Green to play math. I did it to drink a lot and chase women. And I did it very well. I majored in that. I flunked out. With that being said, I do think, like, you know, if you can get that 1 seed, there's a part of me that this is – I probably would feel this way no matter who the other seed was. I want the Yankees to have to go through the Astros in that first or in that ALDS if things go to chalk, because I don't think the Yankees can do it. I think your best hope is the Astros take out the Yankees, and maybe you get some momentum going into the ALCS against the Astros.
Yeah, that would be a huge series. And I think when you look at it, that these last four or five games in the regular season are going to make or break some of these teams. You know, the Astros, yeah, they clinched the three seed, so they know what they've got in hand out in front of them. The Yankees, they're not playing their best baseball right now, but they're also very aware of what October baseball is like. Mm-hmm. And that's the scary side of it, too, is that you have the thump in that lineup that could carry you deep into the playoffs. And then you have the Guardians. You know, nobody really looks at the Guardians and says, oh, that's a World Series caliber team right now. You know, they're in the middle of the pack right now with fan betting or odds betting right now. They're in the middle of it.
Well, and it's funny. They are kind of right where I want them to be, because I think – you know, I think August took some of the steam out of the hype for this team. I think you're now 11-7 in your last 18 games. So you're actually playing really good baseball, but you're not playing Tigers level baseball where it seems like, I think they're playing like 800 ball in their last 10 games. You're not where the Mets are. So you kind of sneak into that second round bye. And so this is where the great challenge for Vogt is. I know when it comes to getting up for a game, I know he's going to have him there, and he's so great about this is what we're doing today. But the challenge is not. I think his style is perfect for postseason baseball. I love aggressive managers in the postseason, right? Bruce Bochy managed the Rangers' way to a World Series last year, so I love this. The biggest challenge is those 5 days, those 7 days, however long the layoff is. That is my fear. Not my fear, but that is to me the greatest unknown.
Yeah, that's going to be the tough challenge right now, is keeping your guys locked in, keeping them intense, making sure that they stay on pace to be able to pull off that first game or second game win that they're going to need.
All right, so we do have a few updates here from Mandy Bell, who just tweeted these out, at MandyBell02. Maybe the most important thing, Stephen Kwan has been activated from the IL. Have mercy, he's back! Miles Straw, also have mercy, sorry, that's mean and vindictive, has been optioned to AAA, and the Guardians also have redone their lineup here. They've got Walters is going to open up a bullpen game today against the Reds. Cantillo's going to pitch on Friday, Ben Lively on Saturday, and then on Sunday they're going to go an opener in Gavin Williams. And what's interesting about this is, I think Gavin's been too inconsistent to have in the postseason rotation. I think Gavin is a guy that is like coming in the third inning or the fourth inning that might be able to give you five innings at a time, or even just two innings at a time. Could be a secret weapon, because his stuff is filthy, even though he's not 100%.
So Gavin's stuff is very electric. You have a big country boy from the right side bringing just gas. I mean, absolute hoss. And when you look at the playoffs, the way that they're lining up, and I like what Voth is doing right here in lining things up, knowing what they have in front of them.
Well, here's the other thing. They're not really punting any of these games. You can beat the Reds with a bullpen game. No offense to the Reds, by the way. And even this weekend against the Astros, like, as long as Cantillo's pitching, even if it's as an opener, as long as Gavin is pitching, even if it's as, you know, kind of a bulk inning guy in the middle of the game, like, I don't think those are punt moves. I think they're, well, let's start to kind of figure out how we're going to position this rotation while still giving us a chance to try and take that one seed. 216-474-0092. Stephen Vogt says they're going to be pedal to the metal to the end of the season here. Is that the right way to take it? If you're the Cleveland Guardians, a lot of news in the Browns today, but of course, we got the Gardos. They have clinched a top two seed. We've got home field advantage. We've got the AL Central crown, and they're pushing towards that one seed. We'll see if they can get it by the end of the season. And we're going to welcome on a Cleveland original, right? A guy that grew up in the Cleveland system before playing for the Cincinnati Reds for a bulk of his career. Now he's an MLB Network analyst. Sean Casey is a MLB Network original, and the network will have wall-to-wall postseason coverage over the next couple days, including a marathon of MLB Tonight on Sunday. Plus, check out Sean's The Mayor's Office podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Sean Casey now joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's everything going?
Doing well here. I don't know if you know, we've won the Ohio Cup for 10 straight years. I hope that doesn't present an issue in our burgeoning friendship here.
Well, you know what? I came up with the Indians, so I have a, I mean, with the Guardian, with Gimme's Guardians, I have a place in my heart for them and a place in my heart for the Reds too. So I win on both fronts.
So can I get you on the idea? I'm not sure if I can get Jason on this yet. When baseball expands, I want the Reds and Pirates in the division with the Guardians and Tigers so that we can have proper rivalries in this town and within the 3-hour drive.
I like the thought process. As far as travel goes, that's going to be an easy one. And that would, for people being so close and the rivalry being there between the cities, I think it's a great idea.
I don't know if it'll be fair enough, though, for the Reds to even pick up where the Guardians are right now. That's going to be tough.
No, it's true. It is true. The Guardians are doing their thing right now, no doubt about it. And the Reds are a little bit behind.
So, Sean, there has been this talk, and it's not just going on in Cleveland. It's about the advantage of the top 2 seed bye that the Guardians clinched last night with a win over the Reds. And there is, hey, you get to skip past the wild card round, but there is the idea of that time off could mess with your momentum. Is the top 2 seed worth the potential rust that comes with not playing baseball for up to a week?
That is the million-dollar question, because I don't know. I'm not sure if it's worth it. Look at last year with Texas and Arizona both being wild card teams. The one thing about baseball players that's different than any other professional sport out there is the rhythm and timing of playing every single day. I mean, even I remember playing when we'd have the All-Star break. That felt like kryptonite, 3 or 4 days. And then I remember being with the Tigers in 06. I felt like we were the best team going into the World Series against the Cardinals. And we had to wait for their series to be over against the Mets. And, you know, we sat for like 6 days and just never could get going, lost in 5 games in the World Series. And you go back and look at the Dodgers the last couple of years and a couple of the teams that have gotten that bye. It seems like the wild card teams that play come in with an advantage, especially in game one. So, obviously, it's an advantage to maybe rest your guys and you've earned the right to be there because you're the number one seed. But the way it's set up now with the 3-game series and then another day off, it definitely for Major League Baseball players, you know, time off can be kryptonite at times.
Case, when you look at the Guardians right now, they don't have a whole lot of household names. You have Jose Ramirez, but the rest of the guys are still up and coming. How have you seen this team play out all season long?
Well, you know what? I think they've done a great job with the bullpen. I think that bullpen has been the best in the game, and it's been so locked down, you know, late, especially with Class A having a Mariano Rivera type season, like under one ERA. It's been pretty phenomenal. Obviously, Jose Ramirez in the middle of that lineup is a guy that you can always lean on for what he does, stealing bases, doubles, home runs, big RBI machine, over 100 RBI. I think Josh Naylor this year, you know, I know his OPS is a little down, his average is a little down, but geez, 107 RBIs, over 30 home runs, you know, has really come through in some big spots throughout the season. Lane Thomas is hot, the way he's swinging the bat. I think that was a great trade, bringing him over. Manzardo's been really getting it going these last couple weeks in that lineup. Top to bottom, it's a grinder lineup. They find a way to hit the ball at the ballpark. I think Stephen Vogt's philosophy of, like, trying to get the bat head out a little bit, driving the baseball. I know Josh Naylor looks like he's really taking to that this year. So, you know, you got to love the makeup of the team. It's a team not filled with stars, but these guys will beat you any given night.
Sean Casey on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline of MLB Network, former Indian, former Cincinnati Red, the mayor, as it were. Can I get you on the Class A for Cy Young train? Remember, you are on air in Cleveland, just real quick there.
You know, why not? I mean, for real, when you go back and even look at a guy like Eric Gagne and, you know, some of the closers, Dennis Eckersley, the guys that have, had a chance to win the Cy Young that were closers. I mean, what Class A's meant to that team, you know, how lights out he's been and, just the numbers that he's put up, you know, is really remarkable. To have a .62 ERA, you know, at this stage of the game and to just be wiping people out and being involved. What has he been in, 70-plus games? So he's factored in on a ton of games this season for the Guardians. And, you know, why would you not? You know, Cy Young goes to the best pitcher in baseball. When you're talking about that and what they mean to the team, I mean, Emmanuel Clase is right in that, or should be right in that conversation.
Case, we talked earlier about, you know, the Guardians getting the 2 seed and potentially the 1 seed. They have about a week off. Does this team have what it takes to get late in the playoff run in October?
I think they do. I mean, I really do. And I think the biggest thing too, I know we just talked about it again, but when you talk about postseason teams and you go back and look at the history of the game, especially in this last 10 years, 15 years, I mean, how important a lockdown bullpen is, you know, and especially for a team like the Guardians, who seems like, you know, they'll go into that pen whenever they need to early. And, you know, I think that being their biggest weapon, and also guys that can hit the ball at the ballpark in the middle of the lineup, you know, I think they do have a really good shot of going deep into the postseason.
So when it comes down to it, I think everybody knows you don't want to play the Astros in the ALDS. But in terms of the advantages of they're a game and a half back off the Yankees for that number one seed there, I think they would have to win out, and the Yankees would have to, I believe, go 2-3 in their next 5 games for the Guardians to clinch here. I'm just curious, like, how big does that play into being able to make a deep playoff run, avoiding the Astros in the ALDS?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, when you get in, you got to beat them all. So, I mean, you obviously, you know, avoiding the Astros, you know, obviously is probably a good thing. But I think at the end of the day, you know, you have to beat everybody. So whenever you got to play them, you got to play them. So I don't know, you know, if you play to get the number one seed or you know, if that's feasible. I don't know, as far as, you know, they're only 1 game back. It looks like they're 1 or 2 games back of the Indians of the Yankees right now. So the Guardians are sitting there where they could make a run. But I don't know how much that plays into the factor right now. I just think if you get in the dance, man, you got to beat them all at some point.
Okay, so you have the Mayor's Office podcast. How great is it to know that you are the mayor of one of the greatest cities of all time because of the sports history?
You know what? It's been pretty cool. Having that nickname and just being a part of, you know, Cincinnati and just being a part of the history of that team and those teams all those years, especially, you know, the how big baseball is in that city, has always been a feather in my cap. And I've just been very grateful for that. And also very grateful for coming up with the Cleveland Indians, obviously the Cleveland Guardians, and being a part of that franchise too. I mean, I learned so much in the minor leagues there with Mark Shapiro leading the way and getting a chance to be mentored by guys like, you know, Jim Thome and Richie Sexton and those guys coming up in that organization. So I'm grateful for it all. I mean, really, really having the opportunity to represent so many great cities in my career has been pretty fun.
Sean, if you look at it, it's interesting that, you know, the Ohio Cup wraps up tonight here in Cleveland, because, you know, these two teams are linked in a few different ways, including both being mid to small market teams. And yet, in the last 10 years, the Guardians have the, I think, fourth highest winning percentage in baseball. And if you look at the Reds, there haven't been a lot of awful teams, but this is a team that's made the playoffs one time in a decade. What do you see as the difference between those two teams and one team having that level of success and the other not?
I mean, I think Chris Antonetti and the boys in there in the front office, you know, and even Mark Shapiro and those guys, you know, Ross Atkins, the guys that end up going to Toronto, I just think they've done they do a great job of developing. They do a great job of drafting. They do a great job of evaluating talent, you know, the scouts and all the guys that all the years. Cause you know, it's not by mistake. They win every year. They're doing something better than a lot of clubs out there, not just the Reds. They're doing something better than a lot of different teams out there for the mid market that they are, the payroll that they have. And you know, you just got to give that front office a ton of credit for developing their own guys, for making trades, you know, even getting Josh Naylor from San Diego. I mean, that was no one even thought twice about it, but they knew that their scouts evaluated Naylor, knowing that he would be a game changing middle of the order bat. And look at him now. I mean, you took a Jose Ramirez and Naylor in the middle there. You know, that's a big 1-2 punch. So you just got to give that front office a ton of credit for how they do it. And like you look at the Rays too, and some of these other mid market teams that win every single year. They're doing something different. They evaluate different. They develop differently. And you just got to give a ton of credit to Antonetti and the boys out there in Cleveland.
Sean, Hosey, who you mentioned, he has been a top three finalist three times in his career for MVP. This year, he's got an outside chance at, I think, would only be the seventh 40-for-40 season ever. Just, you know, what do you see when you watch Jose play now at 32, still at an all-star level?
Just the way he plays the game like his hair's on fire. And I love the way that he just, you know, the fact that he can be such a good switch hitter. He has power from both sides. I love the fact that he's a doubles guy too. What does he have? 37 doubles, 37 homers and 40 bags or something like that. 37 bags, something like that. You know, right around that, the fact that he's leaning into having a chance to be 40-40. I mean, we just saw Shohei go 50-50. I think he was the sixth player to ever be 40-40. You know, for Jose Ramirez to be in that mix with some of the greatest players that have ever done it, you know, that's rare company. That's elite status. So, you know, I'm sure the Guardians fans are watching night in and night out, looking at Jose Ramirez, hopefully appreciating that you got one of the best players in this generation every single night going out there and playing. And give it to the front office of the Guardians too, where they really looked at him and they said, we got to sign this guy long-term. He's got to be the face of the franchise, knowing what his skill set is. And they obviously nailed that one too, because, you know, had he gone to free agency, they would not have been able to afford him. So, you know, he's a generational player. This guy's just an incredible how he plays the game.
Sean, it's great to catch up with you, man. Excited to watch you on coverage, the wall-to-wall coverage for the postseason on MLB Network. Excited to see where the Gardos go. Really appreciate your time today, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
That was former Cleveland Indian, former Cincinnati Red, MLB Network analyst Sean Casey. As a MLB Network original, don't forget, guys, the network has wall-to-wall postseason coverage over the next couple days, including a marathon of MLB Tonight on Sunday. Plus, check out Sean's The Mayor's Office podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. So, great news. So, thank God Kwan's back, man. Does that not just give you a little extra confidence going to the playoffs?
This is very nice to hear that Stephen Kwan is back and healthy and ready to go. And this could be the push that the guards need again, top of the lineup.
Well, and I think the big thing you got to look for is he driving the ball to the other field. Because when he does that, he's the 400 hitter. When he doesn't do that, he's just a little bit easier to kind of get to play the pitcher's game. So that is something, with four games to go in the regular season, that's something I look for tonight. Is he pushing it the other way successfully? Because if he is, now all of a sudden you might have figured out Manzardo as your two-hitter. I almost called him Lemon Law Lane, man. That name went the way of the Dodo in September. But Lane at the five spot, that 1-5, that dog will hunt, in the words of some local Cleveland politicians. I love that, but that's what I'm looking for with Kwan. How about you?
This top five part of the lineup right now, I truly enjoy what they possibly could put together, because we already know what the pitching staff's going to do. We know that the starters are going to go out. They're going to give you a chance. The bullpen is going to eliminate any cause for concern. But to be able to have Stephen Kwan back at the top of the lineup and then also being able to see Lane Thomas right now, did a great job last night, you know, with the two-run homer in the first inning, getting another RBI later in the game. This is the Lane Thomas that they were expecting from the Washington Nationals. It wasn't who they got originally, and he was hitting a buck 80 or something like that when he came back over here. But this is I like this lineup right now.
And can I tell you the thing that I like about it? So they were 1-4 to start the season. It was Kwan. Jimenez was mostly in the two-hole and a little inconsistent, but then Hosey, then Naylor. But then 5-9, it was piecemeal and do this. When you've got 1-5 on lock, with especially with Manzardo, who's been killing into that two-hole, it allows you to say, well, I know John Kensie hasn't hit for 2 weeks, but you know what? We're going to put him in that seven spot, because in the playoffs, that's the guy. Like, if you can, if your 1-5 is performing, that you can take a risk in your 6-9 and put John Kensie there in that 6 or 7 spot, he only has got to go deep once to make that pay off. And that's what's so fascinating. We know the names that got to perform, right? We know the Bibees, we know the Kwans, we know the Hoseys. But those guys like Angel Martinez and John Kensie, even Rocchio, who's had some big hits late in the season, those are the guys that can then help level up the back of that lineup. So, yeah, okay, I can't replace Aaron Judge's production, but man, 1-9 or, you know, 1-5 with 6-9 giving you just periodic production, that can cook pretty well for you in the playoffs.
If you look at this lineup, you say, Jimenez, just give me a quality at bat. Just figure out how to battle against the pitcher. Whether you get a base hit, whether you get a sac fly, it doesn't matter. Just battle. You have Noel right there. Same thing, like you just mentioned. If he has one deep swing, he's made the night for the rest of the team. And then for me, Bo Naylor, though, this might be an X factor as you get into the playoffs, because you're looking at what he's done behind the plate in calling games. But you give a little bit of offensive help as well. Oh, man, that would be fun.
And you get a little pop from Bo. Like, that's kind of the secret sauce with him. And while we're talking here, guys, Carmen Lime's emerging podcast scene tackles the sports scene with a different style every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 10:15. Listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra channel on the free Odyssey app and 92.3thefan.com. Presented by Extend Technologies. Or check out every single archived episode. So we've been very, very sports heavy right now. Over the weekend, something happened. The way people feel about the Guardians celebrating every time they accomplish something in the regular season, I feel about the news that Arthur Blank, over the weekend, Falcons owner since 2002, put himself in the Ring of Honor. I don't know there's a funnier, tinged with sadness thing that I've heard in sports here.
Arthur Blank right now, once it all pointed on him, he doesn't care about anything else. He doesn't care about NFL. He's like, you know what? I bought this team. I made this team. I'm putting people in the stands. Oh, by the way, I'm Arthur Blank.
Yeah, I like the idea of like, if he wasn't the owner, he had to, okay, I would like to submit my qualifications for this. The best thing you did was lose to the Patriots and blow a 28-3 lead. Like everything else, like, oh, are you the guy that had to move on from Michael Vick? Hey, are you the guy that didn't win much with Matt Ryan, who at one point was a consistent top 10? Hey, are you the guy that hasn't hired like a great head? Hired a couple good head coaches. You're the guy that hasn't hired a great head coach. Like, I just gotta say. So I think it speaks to. I think we get this idea that people who have a lot of money, right? That they don't care about anything, and that they're, you know, they've got to have confidence out the wazoo. I know he's 81, so he's a little bit older, and we get a little softer as we get older. But the idea of putting yourself in the Ring of Honor feels like the most fragile masculinity thing you could possibly do of, hey, everybody, and by the way, to make sure you show up, I'm going to give you free hot dogs and free soda. Like, I just... like I almost, it's almost like an aw moment. Like I kind of feel bad that he feels the need to do this for himself, that he needs this for himself.
Well, so when you look at this ring of fire or this honor of fire, is he putting himself at the very top, or is he going to allow himself to just be around the ring? Is he going to say, "Look, I'm Arthur Blank. This is my team," and like you said, you want a hot dog? I'll give you a hot dog. By the way, not a big deal. But this. I don't know. I can't go on this. I don't like this.
Is there ever anything more Atlanta sports than owner puts? Because again, like if Bob Kraft did this, you'd be like, all right, all you did was really hire Bill Belichick. But like, all right, you hired Bill Belichick. You won six Super Bowls. Go ahead. Like Arthur Blank, I think they've been to the playoffs five times in his run, six times in his run there. So like, are we celebrating Arthur Blank's mediocrity?
Go give him some champagne.
Yeah. So it's funny. You're talking about like where do you put him in the Ring of Honor? And you said the phrase Ring of Fire. I think a Ring of Fire would be so much cooler than a Ring of Honor. Like a Ring of Honor is like, what are we really doing here? It's just kind of an ass sniffing thing. A Ring of Fire. If he had to walk through a Ring of Fire to get into it, if it was like a literal thing, then it would. All right. If you're risking like third degree burns, you can put yourself wherever you want to if you walk through that thing.
Very true, right? Are you going to run through it? You're going to crawl through it? You're going to flip through it? But that's probably where he needs to be.
Here's another one. Got to be naked.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to see an 81-year-old man naked running through a Ring of Fire.
I don't want to see it. But if you're going to put yourself in it, put yourself in it. You know, like don't wear like, oh, I got like a fireman's trench coat. No. You will be nude as a jaybird walking through that thing. You'll be hairless when you come out the other side. But when you do, then you can stay in the Ring of Fire / the Ring of Honor.
Well, maybe you put him with the Cincinnati Reds or Bengals. You say, hey, maybe you're from Northern Kentucky, too.
Well, at this point, I'll be honest with you. If we're ranking things, Northern Kentucky goes above. And this is the credit I'm going to give to you, Cincinnati.
Oh, boy.
It goes above putting yourself in the Ring of Honor. Ross Tucker. We're going to ask Ross about this and the cojones it takes to put yourself in the Ring of Honor if you own the team. What you're really celebrating, by the way, is, hey, I bought the team for $300 million and now I'm worth $9 billion. Aren't I great? I made money off you. Aren't I? Here's some free hot dogs. Shut up and let me step into the Ring of Honor.